what's on. Here we go. Open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, and then we're going to pray. Let me give you the background of this because it'll really just wake you up. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul. He is writing to the guy he passed over the church to. He's writing to Timothy. Paul started this church. It happened to be actually a mega church. It's the largest church listed in the Bible. It was a mega church of that day. And Paul planted it, and he passes it on to Timothy. And what you also have to know is this church was thriving. It was just top-notch, doing really good. And then we've got this whack job, Nero. Am I allowed to say that on mic? Just did. Okay. And he's just sadistic. He's killing and just killing Christians, okay? So there's great persecution going on and and the people that were planted in this church, that were leaders in this church, are being persecuted, and oddly enough, many of them are leaving church and leaving God. And if you were the pastor, right? So Timothy's having a little hard time, and Paul writes him this letter. Here it goes. So, my child, Timothy, draw your strength from the grace of God that is in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. We've talked about grace of God. Grace of God is the supernatural empowerment to do what you can't do. So he says, draw your strength from the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, take the things that you heard me say in front of many other witnesses and pass them on to faithful people who are also capable of teaching others. That's a whole good message, but that's not where we're going today. Verse 3, accept your share of suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Nobody who serves in the military gets tied up or entangled with civilian matters so that they can please the one who recruited them. Also, in the same way, athletes don't win unless they follow the rules. And a hardworking farmer should get the first share of the crop. Verse 7, think about what I'm saying. The Lord will give you understanding about everything. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would just reveal really what's going on and what it is into our life. So we just thank you for revelation today. And everybody said, amen. How many of you believe that God can do it? He can reveal things to you. Well, good, I do. If not, go for coffee, it'll help you. Okay, have you ever read scriptures and thought, why are they talking about this? What is this all about? I have. So I've just read these scriptures, and I would be thinking, what is he talking about a soldier? Why is he talking about an athlete? Why is he talking about a farmer? Why is it important? Well, it's important. So I want to talk about soldiers today, the soldiers, the whole idea of soldiers and stuff like that. Now, I was not in the military. How many people have been in the military in our congregation? 1, 2, 3. Wow, Mark, I didn't know. So I know some of you, I know people. Actually, my two uncles were in the military. One was Navy, one was Army. And then my grandfather, you know, when you're young, you don't think to ask your grandparents stuff. And it wasn't until 10 years ago, and my grandfather's been gone about 25 years, I found out that he was in World War I, and he received the Purple Heart. I was like, you don't get that for just going, yes, sir, all right? So, but interestingly enough, you know, when I look at people, and the majority of the people that I know, and some of y'all here too, that I know that have been in the military, you're all kind of a little bit different than some people. You know what I see in people that have been in the military or are in the military? They're very disciplined people in a lot of areas of their life, okay? They may not pick their underwear off the floor still, but they got some other things. They're really disciplined. They're really disciplined. That's an inside family joke here. So, you know, when I think of people that have been in military, so I would probably my first introduction to really knowing someone like that was my Uncle Dave. And my Uncle Dave had six kids, the first three were boys, the last three were girls. And there was a lot of order in his house. he was a disciplined person. He was a fireman, then a policeman, and then he retired as a postman, oddly enough. But he was really disciplined, and his household was very disciplined. And if it wasn't, it would have been chaos because he had 6 kids. I have been around people that have 1 kid, and it's chaos. And my Uncle Dave did pretty good. Yeah. And it was really interesting watching my uncle and raising these 6 kids, and because of his discipline, putting discipline in his children and order and stuff like that. And anybody have a military dad? Okay, so I watched this. Yeah, if Uncle Dave said, "Go do this," and you walked away with a mumble, right away you were in trouble, and he would have said, "Hey, turn around and face me. What did you say?" And if you were really smart, you're like, "Oh, I don't know. I don't think I said anything, right?" Okay, because you were going down. You were going down. So why am I saying all this? Okay, just kind of laying a foundation. Soldiers live a different life than civilians. Everybody say soldiers? Everybody say civilians. They live a different life. And the scripture that we just read in the Bible says we're supposed to be good soldiers. All right, so we're going to talk about this idea of soldiers because we are supposed to be good soldiers. Now, question, how many of you read your Bible and right away you thought, "Yes, sir, I'll do that"? Wink, wink. You know, well, why would you do that? Because you know you're a soldier. You're a soldier according to the Word of God. And I don't care who you are, how young you are, how old you are, God has called you, if you've received Jesus, to be a soldier for Him. So you're soldiers for Him, all right? Some of you are like, "Pastor D, I'm too weak and scared." No, we're not talking about strength and ability, but the Lord will help you in your life be this soldier to walk for Him, all right? So when I think about this whole military idea and this soldier stuff, what I see is soldiers, if you're a soldier for the United States, you work for the cause of the United States of America, right? If you're a soldier in the United States of America, you're working for the cause of the United States of America. So if you're taking notes and you're smarter than a 5th grader, you ought to write this down. Here we go. Ready? Soldiers work for the cause of the kingdom. Soldiers work for the cause of the kingdom, all right? So you could say it this way. I am not working for the cause of this planet. I am not working for the cause of America. I'm not working for the cause of this government. I am a soldier for the Lord, and I am working for His kingdom. Everybody say, "I'm working for His kingdom." All right, I am. So are you. Now, I am so, so thankful that I live in the United States of America. I am. I've traveled to other places, and I'm like, still better coming home. And I am very thankful for my family members that served in the armed forces, and I'm very thankful for all those that are serving now, too. But, you know, you start the sentence with a but. But right now, I'm in the kingdom of God, and I am a soldier for the cause of the kingdom of God. So are you. You are working for the cause of the kingdom of God. All right? So here's the second thing you can write down if you're taking notes. Ready? Soldiers are trained, everybody say trained, for a specific attitude. Soldiers are trained for a specific attitude. As soon as you have kids, you know about attitude. As soon as they start getting 2 and then 13. Whoa, attitude. Okay, right? Okay, so these are my youngins. I'm just going to talk to y'all because there. Alrighty. So, attitude. Right now, attitude in the world is all over the board, right? It is just, wow, just attitude. And you know, when I think back about attitude in 2020 and 2021, and I think of some Christians that I know, and they came off with attitude. But it wasn't an attitude that was reflecting the kingdom or Jesus. Okay, don't raise your hand and don't point at anybody. Look straight ahead, okay? I'd read some people's posts and their attitude. I was like, whoa, are you kidding me? And you know, the interesting thing about some people is they liked it. And we'll get into that later. They liked it. They liked their flesh doing that, all right? But we'll get into that later, all righty? So getting back to number two, soldiers are trained to have a specific attitude, all right? So I want to talk about a specific way of thinking because you are a soldier. If you've received Jesus, according to the scripture, you're a soldier. So we're going to talk about attitude and a specific way of thinking. So I was kind of coming up with what attitude definition is, but here we go. Attitude is a way of thinking, a way of acting, a way of feeling. It's your disposition. That's what attitude's all about. That's what attitude's about. Now, you get a soldier who has a wrong attitude, you know what's going to happen? He's not going to obey the commands. You get a soldier that's got a not a good attitude, he will not obey the commands that he's given, okay? Now, I heard this from my generation or the generation behind me. They would say this about being in the military, that if a sergeant came up to you and said, hey, I want you to move this pile of dirt from here to here, and you would say, yes, sir, and you would do it. You would do it, all right? And then you'd do it, and you'd be all happy because you did it, and then your sergeant would come up to you later, and he says, okay, now I want you to move the pile from here to here. Okay, they probably don't do that now because, dear Lord, you know. But better yet, how many people would do that? Or would you post it on your social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or whatever you got, and say, oh, I can't believe. Better yet, now we do pictures. We'd film it. Okay? You know, I can't believe this bad man made me do this. No, wait a minute. It's going to start the sentence with a but. But wait a minute, you are a soldier in the kingdom of God, and you are to have a good attitude, and that means you will obey the commands, all right? Everybody wave your Bible or your cell phone app or whatever, but listen, this Bible, as a child of God, as someone who is a believer, you've received Jesus, you're a follower of Jesus. This Bible, Jesus, and the Word of God gives us commands. Well, I don't like commands. Oh, I'm going to stop. Okay, I'm good. All right, listen. You will find, you like the word instructions? This Bible gives you instructions. It gives you commands, okay? And whether you have a right attitude or a wrong attitude will determine how you obey God's word. All right, because sure is quiet. Everybody's saying, oh, Pastor D, this is great. Okay, yeah, okay. So he asks us to do something in this word of God. Any day you can play that Russian roulette Bible thing, and you will find where he's asking you to do things, right? Every day, okay? And so the thing is, okay, here's one. Love the unlovely. Raise your hand if you know some unlovely people in your, raise your hand if it's your boss. No, don't raise your hand. Okay, and it's, the Bible says, the commands in here say that you are to love the unlovely. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so that's the attitude that we should have as a soldier, all right? Sure is quiet. Keep moving, Pastor D. Okay, so let me say this, shift a little bit. Soldiers, back when this was written, kind of had a two-part job description. They were soldiers and they were also police officers. They were soldiers and police officers. So picture this. Here's the soldiers. And you're in Rome and you're walking down the street and the soldiers are walking alongside you. All right, they're walking alongside you, all right? And the thing about these soldiers is that they are not looking, you're the civilian, by the way, they are not looking at what you look at. They're not focused on what civilians are focused on, okay? They actually don't look at the things you look at. They're not looking at what you're looking at. Okay, here's a good example. I got a phone call from Cass. So my two younger girls were in Paris. One had a work thing, and the other one said, I'll join you because I have two kids and this will be awesome. leave the kids with my husband. So I was talking to them. They just got back, and Cass said they had just finished touring the Louvre in Paris, and they were sitting on a bench, and they sat down, and they were opening up their cell phones trying to figure out how to get to the next place, and these two police officers walked up to them, and they said, ma'am, and you know, you're like, oh, what did I do wrong? Ma'am, check your purse. So they wear those, what do you call it, cross? Give me the term. Cross baddie. Okay? And normally, Cass, and they both of them, they'll put them in front. They'll walk, especially if you're in a foreign country or in a city, they'll walk with it in front like this. But they weren't paying attention. They were focused on something else. And Cass said, it was behind me. And these two officers saw what was about to go down. And they said, ma'am, you should check your purse. And praise God, she had almost been pickpocketed, and she was not. So, good story. Hold on to your purse and say thank you to the police officer. Amen. Okay, getting back to our story, soldiers, police officers, do not see what civilians see, right? They are focused on different things, thank God, all right? Now, when we become a soldier in the army of God, how about we see things differently than civilians? How about we see things differently than people who don't know Jesus that are surrounding us? How about we see things differently, all right? All right, how about you see this person that's just, I mean, it doesn't take a fifth grader to see somebody that's just broken and hurting, okay? And how about God wants you to say something kind to them? Just even a smile to them, okay? But listen, as a soldier, you can't be into all of the civilian stuff and realize that God wants us to see things differently. Amen. Praise God. How about, you see somebody hurting and you just go love on them. Go love on them. I just heard a really cool testimony this week, but I won't get into it. Just go love on somebody. It just does wonderful things, all right? All right. Go back to 2 Timothy. Or you're still at 2 Timothy, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Listen to this part here. Accept, everybody say accept. If I gave you $20, you would accept it. Now watch what follows this. Accept your share of suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Okay, everybody say suffering. All right, so if I'm going to be a good soldier, I'm going to run into some suffering. You're going to run into suffering. This idea of suffering, let's be honest. I don't really like that idea. So what is he talking about suffering? I'm glad you asked, okay? Number one, let me lay this foundation. Suffering does not come from God. Okay, we have an enemy, and let me tell you, he is constantly fighting us, right? There's a war. He's constantly fighting us. But you have to know that suffering does not come from God. But you are going to run into it. Right? You're going to run into it. So let me tell you what the scriptures say about suffering, all right? I'm going to give you three kinds. Number one, you will, according to scriptures, because listen, I would tear this one out of the Bible, but there's a lot of ones I take. But you will suffer in the flesh. What do you mean, Pastor D? I'm glad you asked. You know what that means? Your flesh is going to want to do something opposite of what this says. Okay? My flesh wants to do the opposite of what this does. I am suffering because my flesh wants to do the opposite. Anybody want to do the opposite of what this word says some days? Oh, y'all, a bunch of saints, right? Yeah, good. Yeah. All right. So we're going to suffer in our flesh because our flesh wants to do the opposite of what the word says. So what we need to do is crucify our flesh. What do you mean, crucify our flesh? I'm glad you asked. That means everybody say the word no. That's what you do. No, flesh, I am not going to do this. I am crucifying my flesh because you want me to do the opposite of what God says. No, I'm not going to do it. That's called crucifying your flesh. Till the day is done, I will have had to have done that a dozen times. So will you, okay? So you're a soldier. You're going to suffer. This is one of the suffering in your flesh. Praise God. Now, no, it's not really a praise God, but anyway. The world that we live in, the planet you're on, is doing things totally opposite of what the word says, of what the Bible says, what Jesus says, totally opposite. So guess what? You can't expect them to pattern their life because they don't know Jesus, all right? What my one friend says, well, what do you expect? Their father's a devil, so they're just going to act like the devil. And yet you'll get all, oh, I can't believe they're doing than that, all right? So the world we live in, they don't know God. They don't understand Bible principles, the Word of God at all right? But listen, we do not take on the attitude of the world. We do not take on the attitude of the world, okay? So the world doesn't know Jesus. Raise your hand if you do. So guess what? I'm supposed to be an example of Jesus. I'm supposed to be the light of the world. I'm supposed to walk and obey the commands, all right? Now, so therefore, I'm not supposed to live like the world. I'm not supposed to do the things like the world. And that's where my flesh has to go, no, don't do that, all right? So that's part of having the attitude and stuff, all right? So we're going to suffer in the flesh. Second one, if you're taking notes, that we're going to run into, because you're a soldier, you're going to suffer persecutions. Can I tell you, in the United States, we have suffered very little persecutions for the gospel. Notice I left that last word to the end. We have suffered very little for the gospel, all right? Now, I'm not prophesying gloom and doom or anything like that, but let me tell you guys, it's coming. And you look at the United States of America, there has been a turning. Okay, and they look down on Christians. The world in the United States, they look down on Christians. Evangelical Christians, they think you're heresy and extremists and all these other things. They think you're crazy. All right? That's what's going on. All righty? Those are where the persecutions for the gospel is. So we are followers, we are soldiers. So guess what? I'm not gonna change because the world is saying this, this, and that, so they'll like me, all right? But I am a soldier, and I'm going to be who Jesus called me to be. I'm going to live the way Jesus called me to be, because I'm a soldier for him, first and foremost, okay? All right, let's talk about these persecutions that we go through. You're going to be persecuted for the gospel. That means you are going to be persecuted for this Bible, okay? I believe this is the Bible, is the Word of God. I believe everything in here is true. I believe it's the Word of God. Everybody say, I believe it's true. Yeah, I believe it's true when it talks about marriages and women and men and the sanctity of life, and I could go on a whole rant, okay? But I believe this Bible is the Word of God, and it's true, okay? So the thing is, will you change what you believe just so you can fit in? Everybody say, no, I'm not. Because I believe the Word of God is true. I believe God's Word is true. And I believe I'm going to stick to the Word of God. And period, end of sentence. Everybody say, amen. Some of you are, oh my. And some of you are like, well, Pastor D, didn't you see what was on TikTok? Cut me a break. The Word of God. Come on. That is it, period. All right? Praise God, praise God. Okay, back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Accept your share of suffering like a good soldier. Hurrah, all right? So we're going to suffer in the flesh. That means you're going to have to crucify your flesh and say, no, I'm going to follow the Word of God. You're going to suffer persecutions, okay? And the third one, you're going to suffer. There's going to be times that you're going to suffer and where you're going to have to humble yourself. Sometimes that's real suffering. The Bible says to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. What does that mean? Well, when you're humbling yourself, you ditch your pride. When you're humbling yourself, you're going to stay away from worry and being anxious about everything. And I'm going to believe what God says, okay? And, you know, for me, humbling myself is, I don't always have to be right. I'm really working on that. And it's not so much that I say, I'm humbling myself to you, Angie. It's in my heart, all right? So, and there's a little suffering to that, because I'm right. No, I'm not. Okay, suffering. All righty. Let's move on to verse 4. I think we beat that thing. Okay, verse 4. Nobody who serves in the military gets tied up with civilian matters so they can please the one who recruited them. 2020, how many people got tied up in civilian stuff? How many believers got tied up? I did. And the Lord corrected me and he said, yes, Lord, please forgive me. I'm getting tied up in the world. I'm getting entangled. That's it. Alrighty. So a lot of people got entangled in goofy stuff, all righty? Now, the Bible says, it's just jotted down, but it's 1 Corinthians 14:10. There are many voices in this world, and none of them are without significance. There's many voices in this world. So here's the question. What voice are you listening to? What voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice influences you? So it's probably about a year ago, somebody said this, and I'm like, what? So I asked Google, and you hear this a lot. Social media influencers. So I was like, what? What? Because, you know, it takes me a while because I'm this young generation to know what's going on in the world. And you know what it is? It's the influence to believe in or to submit to a same idea. Okay, now think about your social media. You're all on something. Don't laugh at mine. You youngins there. I don't even know what half of this stuff does. I mean, I do, but I don't. Okay, so, what should be the biggest influence in your life? What should be the biggest influence in your life should be Jesus. What should be the biggest influence in your life should be the Word of God. Now, I enjoy my social media, but it is not the biggest influence. And some of you, hide. Delete. Because you guys are, all right. So when you're on social media and it's influencing you and it's influencing you because you're on for an hour, how about you ask the question, who are these people? What is their character like? Is Jesus Lord? Can I tell that he's Lord of their life? Okay, so I'm just saying, moving on. Here's a good scripture for you. They're all good scriptures. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Okay, here we go. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, that you are not your own property? Everybody say, not my own property. Okay, so whose property are you? Oh, you read verse 20. Here we go. You were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus, who made you his own. So then honor and glorify him with your body. I loved worship today because I was like, you all nailing the songs with the message. Huh? Praise God, okay? So you know what that means? You can't say the things the world says. What do you mean I can't say what I want to say? Nope, you can't say what you want to say. You know why? I can say what I want to say. No, you can't, because you have been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus, right? You gave your life to him. You said, Lord, I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. I need you, and I come into my life. You gave your life to him, and now you are purchased. You are his. You are not your own. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not your own, okay? So if you've been purchased, guess what? You are now his servant. So, you know, don't say slave, okay, we don't like that word, but you are now his servant. You serve him, okay? You serve him, all righty? Now, I am a servant to him. I got news. He's the best master you will ever have. He is the best. He loves you. He cares for you. He died and purchased you. And his favor that he has in heaven is your favor. The blessings he has in heaven is your blessings. I don't know about you, but I'll take him hands down any day. Because I was a servant to a lot of other things. Man, I love being a servant to him. Amen? Okay, the rest of that scripture says, back up. So you were bought with a price, actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. So then, wrong verse. Back to 2 Timothy. Here we go. 2 Timothy 4. Nobody who serves in the military gets tied up with civilian matters so they can please the one who recruited them. So, real easy now because you get it. Who do we please? Right. Who do we please? Okay. Do you please me? Do you please Pastor Sherry? Do you please YCF? Nope. Number one, you please him. Okay. Why? Because I was recruited. Everybody say, I was recruited by him. All right? I am a soldier for him. I'm recruited for him, and I want to please him. I want to please him in all that I do. So when he says, this is a good test, when he says something in the Word, you should be going, yes, sir. Right? When he speaks to you through the Holy Spirit, and you should go, yes, I will, right now. I have to pray about it. No. You go, yes, sir. All righty? So, amen. Good. Praise the Lord. I want to please him. All right? I want to please him. All right? Okay, I'm going to just wrap up real quick and give you about 3 points, but listen to this. Through the Word of God, they list what a soldier should do. They list what a soldier should be. Here's number one if you're taking notes. A soldier should have endurance mentality. A soldier should have endurance mentality. What do you mean by endurance? I will not quit. Everybody say, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. All right? And I look at a lot of you, and I've seen you. I'm not quitting. So one of my friends posted this on social media, the one that I watch, okay? And it brought me to tears. So I want to read about a person who had endurance mentality. The month of March celebrates Harriet Tubman. Okay, she was a conductor. I cry every time I do this. I've read this 5 times and I weep. She ran the Underground Railroad to get slaves, black slaves, out of the South up north. And she was a black woman that was illiterate. And she rescued 70 people. None of them were lost. And her code name and what people called her, she was Moses. I'm going to cry again. She was Moses to her people, taking them out of bondage. Okay, I'm good. So let me tell you endurance mentality. This is what she said, quote, if you're tired, keep going. If you're scared, keep going. If you're hungry, keep going. If you want to taste freedom, keep going. I heard endurance. I will not quit. And listen, guys, in 2020, they said, statistics, you know, that there was the greatest exodus from church and God. I quit. That's bad. That's sad. And, you know, I have to think, you know, if a pandemic will get you to quit, dear God, and you walked away from God and church, I mean, church, fellowship, communion, friendships. You walked away from that, okay? And listen, I hate to tell you. No, I do love to tell you. There's more stuff coming. Jesus says in the last days, and by the way, Jesus died on the cross. He went to hell. He rose again. He sat down, and clock started the last days. And many say we are in the last of the last days. So Jesus said in the last days there'll be wars, rumors of wars, race against race, nation against nation. What do you think Russia and Ukraine is? It was prophesied. Okay, though I don't like that, all right? So we have to have an endurance mentality. I will not quit on God. I will not quit on his word. I will not quit on his commandments. I will not quit. I don't care. I'm not giving up. Amen. Everybody say, I'm not quitting. Woo! Praise God. Whew. And if you see somebody quitting, go grab their butt and bring them alongside you, okay? And I know a lot of you do that. Okay. 1 Corinthians 16:13, I'm just going to read this real quick. It says, stay awake, stand firm in your faith, be brave, be strong. Okay, so what does he mean? Think about those soldiers. They're walking around the Roman roads. And they're walking along with civilians, okay? They are not to be looking what civilians. They are not to get entangled what civilians do, okay? They are going to see things differently than civilians, okay? So how about the next time you're walking around the road and you're at the checkout line and you look at the person before you or afterwards and, you know, you can tell they're not doing so good. How about you have a kind word? I've watched this happen. I watched this one time. It wasn't even me. I was like, what? That was so good. This person, I have to believe they were Christian. Well, this lady was checking out in front of them, and he walks over and he says, I'll pay for it. And, you know, as I got a little bit, reflected a little bit, but this was a person and no condemnation. They're laying down food stamps and they didn't have enough. You know, they're struggling in life. And this person, I have to believe it was a Jesus person, just, you know, how about we do that? We see and we do those things, all right? How about at your school? How about at your job? And you just say something kind because, you know, they're just having a tough day. You just love on them. Better yet, tell them about your story and what Jesus has done in your life, all right? So don't give up. Hang on to the faith. Praise God. We're not quitters, all righty? So endurance. Here's my second one. We have to avoid entanglement. The Bible says don't get tied up. Don't get entangled with the same stuff that civilians do. Now, do you have to do your laundry? Yes, okay? Do you have to feed your kids and clean your house and go to job? That's it. I'm not talking about this, but there's other nyanya stuff that we get entangled with, all right? So as a soldier, we're not going to get entangled in that stuff, all right? All righty? We're not going to allow that to happen, all righty? And listen, why? Why do I not want to do that? Well, number one, I'm not going to be a good soldier. And later on, we won't be able to run the race that we're supposed to. But we have an enemy. And you know what he loves to do now? Listen, he is slick. He likes to entangle you again with what you came out of before. He likes to tie you up to go back to the things that you came out of. I cannot afford to go back to that stuff. You cannot afford to go back. It'll hurt you. It'll hurt your relationships, your walk with Jesus, and even your witness, okay? So don't get entangled, all righty? Here's my last one. Okay, soldiers must stop listening to those who want us to rebel and live for self. Everybody say self. I can be selfish. So can you. Don't look at me that way, okay? But the soldiers must stop listening to those who want you to rebel. Rebel against what? The word of God. And then become selfish. Okay, so let me explain this. Have you ever heard somebody say, I have my truth. I have my truth. My truth. All right? So what's your truth? Well, my truth is truth. My truth is truth. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. So listen, guys. The day you accept Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you are obligated to his truth. And when someone says, my truth, the world doesn't know God. That's the world that doesn't know God, right? And it's not the way that God wants. My truth, my truth. Someone said, and then I heard this. I was sucking in because I was just ticked. They said, well, my truth trumps everybody else's truth because it's my truth. I'm like, what planet are you from? I was thinking some other things too, okay? But listen, okay? If your truth is different from this truth, the word of God, what God says, trumps everything. This is truth. Someone said, I heard this, I had a week last week. I heard somebody say, well, you know, how do you know the Bible's true? I was like, wrong. I know the Bible's true. You know why I know? Because there's only one person that died and rose from the dead, and his name is Jesus. Okay? I don't know what your nyanya truth is. Okay? And the Bible says that he went to hell. He paid the price. He was raised. People saw him. He's seated at the right hand of heaven. He's the King of kings, the Lord of glories. He is the truth. All right? So, and the Bible also says he's coming back. And he's my Savior. And he's my truth. And I'm going to believe his truth. All right? Amen. So, praise God. I'm going to wrap up. Here we go. You guys on the keys, you can do whatever you want. You're so cute. My Nevin. I just love him. I really believe that God wants us to have a soldier mentality. And it's not just for you. It's for the people, the world that is around you. So we need to have a soldier's mentality, okay? And this doesn't mean dressing camo. I used to have camo. It doesn't mean you go marching around people. It doesn't mean when your spouse says something, you go, yes, sir, honey. God, no, it doesn't mean any of that, okay? You get slapped if you did that. Like, you got to be kidding, okay? It doesn't mean any of that. What it means is that I will obey the Word of God. That's the soldier mentality that we need in our life. I will obey the Word of God, all right? So here's my question. It's your homework. You can write it down. Ching. Ready? What adjustments can you make in your heart to be a better soldier? What adjustments can you make in your heart to be a better soldier that God wants you to be, okay? So it's more like, where have I gotten off track? I need to make some adjustments. Now just think, I was just kind of cracking up myself last night thinking, what if everybody, every day, especially before you come in here, made all your little adjustments, like a chiropractor, okay? And we walked in here, and you know what happens when you make those adjustments? Spiritually, you just go to the roof, and we all walk in, talk about let's have church, right? Because we all got adjusted, okay? Now, here's the thing. It's real easy to have an adjustment. Just get quiet and ask the Lord, and this is what mine is. Lord, yep, didn't do good there. I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me, and I thank you. I'm your soldier, and I please you. That's simple. Like I said, till the day is done, I might do this a half dozen times, okay? But how about this one? Simple adjustment, because this gets you out of the self and the pride, and it goes to him. Lord, I'm your soldier, and I'm here to please you, to live my life for you, right? Praise God. And you know, really what this is, it is a re-surrender. And we sang, I was like, dang, songs are good today. They're right with the message. But we were talking about this, you know, just laying our life down and being an altar and stuff like that. So right now, just close your eyes and let me think how we're going to do this. Search my heart, O Lord, if there be any stuff that's not pleasing to you, that I've gotten off track, that I've gone and said, I'll do it my way. Lord, just speak to my heart, and I make the adjustment right now. Say, ask for forgiveness. Thank you, forgiveness. Thank you that I am pleasing to you. And that I am a soldier for your kingdom, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How about we sing a little, and then I'm going to, well, how about I'll pray for you, and then we'll sing a little bit. Father, I thank you that you are love, and you love so big that our heads can't comprehend all of it. But today, Father, I thank you that everyone in this place, everybody listening online, Father, that they might know that they are so loved for you, so loved by you, and that you have brought them into your family. You have made them soldiers for your kingdom, for your cause, Father, and that this word just strengthens them, Father, as they leave this place, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you all stand, and we'll sing, and then we'll dismiss you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, no. Have fun. They're so cute. I remember when they were all born. Yep, because I'm so young. Praise God. Like us to pray with you, come on up. We've got altar ministers that'll come and pray with you, right? We'll agree with you. Good soldier's life. Amen. So my altar ministers, praise God. Amen.
Oh, that you would are pouring out everything, pouring out everything. Keep my heart open. Keep my heart open. Keep my heart true. Just like a child, I follow after you, doing just as you do. Doing just as you do.
Father, we declare that we will keep our heart tender before you, to be a good servant, to be a good soldier for you, this day and every day. Amen? Amen. Well, we love you. Have a super week. You can stay. Have fun and stay. Amen.